Rav Neventhal, who was the chief rabbi of the old city. So we're basking in his glow today. And it is a really, really big yesod, not just for this week's parsha, but for life, which you may hear me talk about again, and I probably talked about it before, because it's something that I really believe in, and that's the importance of a gratitude attitude into living a very happy life. So, according to Rav Neventhal, the running theme throughout Sefer Shmot is this idea of being grateful. Where does he see that? Where does that come into being? So, it all starts in Shmot Pasuk Chet Perek Aleph. Vayakam Melech Hadash Al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yada Et Yosef. A new king arises over Egypt who did not know Yosef. Okay? The Egyptians didn't know Yosef. Chazal point out that there's another mentioning of this Asher Lo Yada, who didn't know. Later, Paro, in Shmot Perek Hei, Pasuk Bet says, V'yomer Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Yashma B'Kolo L'Shalach L'Yisrael. When Moshe tells him, you got to send the Jewish people out, Moshe, God, Paro says, I don't know who these people are. Lo Yadati Et Shem Hashem. I've never known this name of God. V'gam Et Yisrael Lo Shalach. And also Israel, I'm not going to send out. You see it? Lo Yada, Lo Yada. First, he didn't know the good that Yosef did for the Egyptians. And ultimately, he comes to say, I don't know God. Okay? So Chazal say that at first, the person's going to come to deny the good that other people do for us. And ultimately, what's going to happen, he's going to come to deny the good that Hashem does for us. The two are interlinked. The two are intertwined. If we have Hakarat HaTov for other people, then we're going to be able to truly feel the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. And if not, then we won't. And it goes the other way too. If we're not thankful to Hashem, we're going to be selfish, self-oriented, narcissistic people. We're not going to be thankful towards God. We're also not going to be truly thankful towards other people. And that was the root of the enslavement of the Jewish people. It all started when they were not able to recognize how Yosef, after all, Yosef literally saved the entire Egyptian people, but Paro didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to recognize it. Now, why is it? Why do we do that sometimes? What excuse? Sometimes people do us a good thing. Usually I'm talking about people we don't like so much. And we make excuses in our head as to why it wasn't such a big deal and why we don't really have to feel so thankful. So what are some excuses that we make up? To not necessarily have to go into true gratitude. What do you guys think? What do we tell ourselves? Yeah?
I did it myself.
Or I could have did it myself, and it wasn't such a big deal when that guy did for me. What else? Let's say a bus driver drives you to a place. Why is it that we don't always feel like giving him a big hug and thing? He's going to do it anyway. It's his job. He's getting paid for it. What else?
He doesn't even know me.
It wasn't even that nice. It would have been more comfortable. Right, and we make all these excuses because we don't necessarily, not necessarily so comfortable to get into this gratitude attitude, because being grateful, truly grateful, is kind of vulnerable. And we have to sometimes say, I'm dependent on others, and especially when we're dealing with people we're not getting along with so well, it's not necessarily natural for us. But it is something that we can train ourselves to do, like anything else. And we have some examples of people who were grateful, and who we are grateful for in the Torah. In the Torah, Rav Neventhal points out, in this week's Parsha, we have examples of gratitude towards people. In Shmos, we have gratitude towards animals, we have gratitude towards God, and we even have gratitude towards inanimate objects. I'm talking about in Sefer Shmos, not just in Parsha Shmos. What are some examples of gratitude towards God? That's an easy one. Where do we see the Jewish people in the Sefer Shmot are grateful towards God? Haz Yashir, they're singing gratefulness to Hashem right after he saved them. That's a great example. That's an easy one. Where do we see gratitude towards people? Where people are grateful towards each other? Well, here's an interesting example. How about the Torah itself is grateful towards the good deeds of Yitro? Yitro, you know, it gets a whole parsha named after him just because he was nice to Moshe. And you could say that maybe he had self-interest in being nice to Moshe. He wanted to get his daughter married. But nonetheless, the Torah goes out of its way to point out what a great guy he was and even, you know, focus on him. Another great example is Batya. Batya is the mother of Moshe. And in fact, we name Moshe. Why is his name Moshe? Himina Mayim Mishitihu, right? We give the Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of the Jewish people, the name after this Egyptian woman, showing gratitude for this wonderful act of Mesiras Nefesh, because she put her life on the line to defy her father. And so from here on in forever, we appreciate that act of kindness. When it comes to the realm of inanimate objects, where do we see in the Torah that someone is grateful for inanimate objects?
Moshe
with the sand and with the water, right? What's the story? It says in Chet Pasuk Bet, "Vayetet Aaron et Yado al Meimei Mitzrayim v'tal tzvardeh." When they're hitting the water, first of all, so Aaron is the one which in Pshat hits the water, not Moshe. Why does Aaron hit the water? Because the water was the one that saved Moshe Rabbeinu. And when it comes to the sand, the same story is said. When it comes to Kachmatcha Neteyatcha not on the water, on the hold on. Lo Mishnah, you guys are familiar where Moshe Rabbeinu is not told to hit the sand, but Aaron is told to hit the sand because Moshe Rabbeinu has to have this hakarat atof for the sand, which covered up the Egyptian and saves his life. Now, when it comes, we'll stop with inanimate objects. In terms of animals, where do we see in the in Sefer Shemot an example where the Torah shows we have to be grateful for animals?
The dogs,
exactly. When the dogs who didn't bark when we were leaving Egypt, from then on, we're obligated to give our extra meat to dogs. Now, when it comes to the realm of animals and inanimate objects, even more so, there's a chiddush that comes here. There's a new idea here, because at the end of the day, why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to be thankful to this water, to this sand, if of course sand doesn't have feelings and sand can't feel anything whether he hits it or not? So why does God command that Aaron hit that sand and not Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the answer?
On the whole, like obviously, like if Moshe could be like show have like respect and to like the sand, and I think in Amnon, just like all the more so, we should have so much more and the people.
Yeah, fair. And that's a good answer that we should learn from him and do this Kal V'Chomer, which is similar to the reason why we cover the bread, right? It's to learn sensitivity, absolutely. But I think there's another way of putting it. There's another way of saying, at the end of the day, who is the gratitude for? Is it for the sand, or who is it for? You could say it's for Hashem. I would say it's for you. It's for you to become a grateful person. It's for Moshe Rabbeinu. It wouldn't be good for his soul after this sand did him something good to not express his appreciation. And that's the essence of being a Yehudi, of being someone who's always looking for opportunities to be grateful and to look at the makir tov and look at the bright side of life, whether it's a person or it's a training. Moshe has to train himself to become this makir tov. And that, says Rav Neventhal, is actually the essence of Metziat Mitzrayim. We have to leave the Egyptians and their lack of hakarat tov with Paro, and we have to enter into becoming Yehudim, who are constantly looking to be makir tov. And in fact, if you look in Sefer Devarim, it is an amazing example of this, that we are not allowed to hate the Egyptians. And we're not, we're not the Edomites and the Egyptians, the Torah says, let me just find it. Lo tita'ev adomi, lo tita'ev mitzri, ki ger ayita be'aretzo. You lived in their land, you sojourned in their land for all these years, so you can't hate them. And obviously the bomb kash is, what do you mean we lived in their land? We were slaves in their land. But nonetheless, that's the whole takeaway. That even if there was a lot of negative, that we could look at it. But no, we have to focus on the good that they did for us. That's the essence of life, and so we can't hate these Egyptians. And that's the takeaway from Mitzrayim. And of course, this is not that's the plus side. On the flip side, what was the most devastating sin that the Jewish people ever did? Chigadego is definitely up there, for sure. I agree. I just made your left heart to the end. That showed a complete lack of hakarat hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the good that he did for us. Absolutely. And the other? The Meraglim. And what's the essence of the sin of the Meraglim? what does the Meraglim come down to? Lack of emunah is definitely one aspect, but I would say another aspect is lack of hakarat hatov. Hashem took them out of Egypt. He promised them to bring them to the land of Israel, and instead of looking at all the good, they're saying, "Besinat Hashem, God hates us." right? And started with the complaint of the Mitlonin of all the people who were complaining about the lack of man. It's not good. It's not yummy. It's not good enough. It all starts with this attitude of looking at the negative instead of looking at the positive. And in the end, we train our brains to look negatively, and we get kicked out of the land of Israel. Because Israel can only tolerate this positive, optimistic, and grateful way of looking at life. Now, how do we do this in the real life? How do we manifest this? I think we all, on a theoretical level, know this. And this isn't a big chiddush for us all. That's the whole idea of Musar, to drill ideas in. But Baruch Hashem, we have amazing tools now with positive psychology to actually manifest this on a real level. And if you go on TED.com, you'll see like 20 different TED Talks about gratitude. The whole world is bought into this idea that one of the keys of being a happy person in life is doing acts of kindness and being grateful. Okay, so I think I mentioned this before, but there are new studies which are showing that doing daily exercises of gratitude are give you physical health, take away your stress. They give you physical health. They give you joy to a much greater extent. And there's something called neuroplasticity, where your brain actually gets rewired, we've learned. And by training your brain to do certain actions, you can train it to look, to actually, you can make it different. You can actually change it. So for example, by doing gratitude exercises every day, you can help your brain start looking at the positive and naturally start looking at the positive in life. And the amazing thing is, it doesn't actually take that long to get into these gratitude attitude. It just takes a little bit of discipline. So they say that if you do for 3 weeks a journal of three things before you go to bed, then it has an amazing effect in long-term changing your brain to start being a more happy and grateful person. So in a Jewish context, I think Baruch Hashem, we have amazing tools to do this in an easy way. Because if you're a secular, it's very weird to start every day, you know, being grateful. It's not natural for it necessarily. But in our tradition, we have so many opportunities built in that we're already used to, right? Like davening, like benching. It's already built in. The question is, are we going to do it in such a way where we really, really focus in and we extend the pleasure and the gratitude? Or we just go through the motions and just emode the menach malach like we did any other day? But we already have the habits built in, so why not actually use those times as gratitude exercises? You know what I'm saying? So Lamaisa, what am I suggesting? I'm suggesting at the end of your Shemoneh Esrei every day, or in your modim if that works for you, or in your Birkat Mazon if that works for you, at the end, in the Harachaman section, I would add in, take a moment to verbalize gratitude. And when I say, and extend it, meaning, let's say today you want to be grateful for the warmth, that you're not freezing cold. So take 30 seconds to speak it out, to talk to God about how awesome it is that you have a jacket. That's called, you know, extending it. And then what usually happens is you want to be grateful for other things, for other people in your lives, and for other great things that are happening in your lives. And you can make a game every day, try to think of something new to be grateful for. And if you just do it on a daily basis, your brain gets used to this, and it starts seeing the positive in life. And one more amazing advantage of this is that sometimes it works even where Emuna has a hard time working. Because, you know, sometimes you're going through a really hard time in life, and things aren't working out well, and you're angry. And so you just want to go the rabbini approach and say, ah, it's all from Hashem, it's all good. But I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel angry at Hashem, because why is he doing this to me? So it doesn't necessarily work to right away say, well, it's all from Hashem, it's all good, give Hashem a hug. Sometimes that works, especially when I'm in a good mood, but sometimes it doesn't. But what can work a lot of times is just don't focus on the bad, and just be grateful for all the other good things in your life. And instead of like trying to go head on with, oh, it's not really bad, it's good, and keep this theological debate in your head, just be like, that maybe it's bad right now, but I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the good and say, wow, I have a coat, wow, I have food, wow, I'm in a hot shower. You can do it in a shower. It's another great way of doing it. In the shower, verbalize. Of course, writing down and journaling is another amazing method to make this gratitude attitude work. But whatever works for you. So who here is with me? Who here buys into this idea? Yeah, awesome. Okay, so I'm gonna obviously you can just take this as another cool idea and a cool shear, that'll be great. But if you want, a lot of studies have shown that when people do things together, they mechazik each other, they strengthen each other. So what I decided this morning during my Shemoneh Esrei, while I was supposed to be doing gratitude attitude, was that maybe I'll make a WhatsApp group, and anybody who wants to join it will join, and I'll join other people too in my shirim, and we can just give ourselves like a daily reminder. Either I'll put like a gratitude YouTube that video or something, or I'll just write, or one of us will just write like be grateful, and the idea is that every day we should take at least a minute to talk about something that we're grateful for. And like we said, we're going to retrain our brains to being happy, happy, happy people. And Bezrat Hashem, that's going to lead us out of our own personal mitzvahs.
Why don't we all write in group chats?